All right, thank you, and good afternoon and evening, wherever you're calling from. GA family, I am B. Moore David S., compulsive gambler. My current absence date I protect is 4/21/25. I am a multi-addict, and I am a human being. I posted the speaker topic in the chat, and I am under no illusion that I represent all atheists. There are people that lean atheist and agnostic. I'm only speaking for myself, and I have no intention to say anything to offend anyone. So if I do, I apologize in advance. The short background, it's interesting that first, I'm going to actually, let's go with step three real quick of the unity steps. This is such an important statement that they say it twice in exactly the same words on page two, second paragraph, first line. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop gambling. And I was asked, why do I have to specifically point out atheists and agnostics? And the reason I do that is because of my own experience with feeling that I was walking into a religious cult, my first meeting. Every word, every other word, this is an exaggeration, but of course, in the literature is God or higher power. And as people shares, they often bring that to point in their recovery, as part of the recovery, even going as far as saying, the higher power speaks to them directly, or they speak directly to their higher power. And this put me off. And I didn't return to a meeting for maybe 3 months. And my first session was from 1/1/18 to 11/2/19, where I had a relapse. But I really didn't get a lot out of the program. I didn't know anything about sponsors or the steps, really, in the live meeting that I went to. It was a very small one in the afternoon here in Baltimore City. But as COVID hit, I started hearing more about the program as I was isolating, and I went to the seven local meetings here in the DMV, which is DC, Maryland, Virginia. And then that was started at 7:30. And then there was a 9 o'clock meeting most days of the week for the national GISO phone meetings. And it was there that I was first made familiar with the interchangeable words of love and God. And this person spoke to say that the program is, good for us, but because the word God appears all the time, that as an atheist, he substituted the word love instead of the word God. And if you go through the literature, and when I read the literature, that's how I read it. When I start the Serenity Prayer, I say, "Love, grant me." And I'll read a step three prayer a little later, I think. So what's interesting too about this, even as an atheist agnostic, as a gambler, I had something that we call, or I call, the gamblers, the casino God, the gambler's God. God, please, God, let me win this. I blame God when I don't win. And so it was very, very hard for me to accept the program. And when I found my sponsor in 9/20 of September of 1920, 2020, 1920, I asked the sponsor, found somebody that I thought could help me out. And one of the first questions they asked is, "Am I willing to go to any lengths to stay clean and abstinent?" And I knew I was going to have to deal with this issue of a higher power. And Of course, I said yes. I sought him out, and I figured, well, cross that bridge, as we come to it. And it was a slow changeover, but a lot of it had to do with the readings that I came across. The first is in the AA Big Book, which is what we worked out of on page 12. In the middle of the page, the end of the second full paragraph, which is only two lines. It says, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" This is on page 12, like I said. And that was a very interesting idea. And I was starting to see signs that there was a higher power involved in my life. Things that only meant something to me. They were not religious based at all. And as I came across that, I also came across the signs in my past and present that I was on the wrong path. And of course, in the past, I ignored those signs as I continue to be an addict. And so that was the beginning of me being able to come up with my own conception of a higher power. And I remember writing the pages that I had to write. When I would write the word God, I would almost be saying laughingly, because I really didn't believe it, but it's, oh, the sponsor's going to really like it when I say it this way. That God helped me do this, or God made me see this. But it's quite common for me to do my reading and my literature using substituting the word God for love. I came up with another one a friend told me about, which is great mystery, which is what life is. Of course, I use higher power, and I sometimes use God. Getting back to that question, why do I add atheism thing after I say it? The only requirement is to want to stop gambling. It's because the literature is so, I wouldn't say religious leaning, but for someone that does is very finds the word offensive. God, and of course all the proper pronouns, and all any kind of individual religious icon, they're going to want to, turn away. And this program is for them, and it will help them. And eventually down the road, even though it says that's the only requirement, I believe, at least it's helped me, that I have to, accept that there is a power greater than me in this universe that is in charge of things. I'm going to talk about just a little bit here on the One Day at a Time, the A Day at a Time book. And because some people are, very religious oriented, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it just doesn't, it makes not the fact that it just makes me uncomfortable or other atheists and agnostics. It is in the literature where it says, and I'll read this, is April 12th. If we attempt to understand rather than to be understood, we can more quickly assure a newcomer that we have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. All of us, whatever our race, gender, creed, color, or ethnic heritage, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. It continues, "Today I pray, may I try to love all humanity as children of a living God. May I respect the different ways through which they find and worship God. May I never be so rigid as to discount another's path to God, or so insensitive that I use the fellowship of the group as a preaching ground to extol my religious beliefs as the only way." And it continues for April 13th. "Any number of compulsive gamblers are bedeviled by the conviction that they never, that if they ever go near the Gamblers Anonymous program, or any anonymous program for that matter, whether by attending meetings or talking one-on-one to with other members, they'll be pressured to conform to some particular brand of faith or religion. They don't realize that faith is never an imperative for membership in the program, that freedom from gambling can be achieved with an easily acceptable minimum of it, and that our concepts of a higher power and God, as we understand him, afford everyone nearly an unlimited choice of spiritual and brief action. So, I've learned through my process of 7+ years that, my good friend on Saturdays, I use the we version of all the prayers that we say. And whenever the word God or proper pronoun is used, I do that. And as an example, I'm going to read you step three, the prayer for step three. And it goes like this. Love, I offer myself to love, to build with us and to do with us as love wilt. Relieve us of the bondage of self, that we may better do love's will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those we would help of love's power, love's love, and love's way of life. May I do love's will always. And also, I wanted to read, this is actually kind of interesting. Yesterday's One Day at a Time is quite significant here with the topic at hand. And it goes like this. September 1st, reflection for the day. The Gamblers Anonymous Red Book, in explaining step 11, says, a conscious contact seems to start with the daily prayer. What is prayer? To some, it is a personal chat with the higher power. So each of us can pray as we see fit. If at first prayer seems difficult, you can fake it until you make it. In time, you will grow to eagerly accept prayer and know the rewards it will give you. Prayer enlarges the ability to cope. Today I pray. I praise my higher power for my freedom to find my own understanding of God. May my life be God's, whether I think of him as a father whose hand and spirit I can touch with an upward reach of my own, or as a universal spirit that I can merge with as the hard outlines of myself begin to melt, or as a core of divine and absolute goodness inside myself. May I know him well, whether I find him within me, without me, or in all things, everywhere. And I read that, and since I started using the proper term, I didn't switch over to love. But you get where I'm coming from if I wanted to go that direction. Well, I'm running out of things to say. All right, let's go back to the short background for me. So like I said, I had a gambler's God, and I really was put off by the program because of the overuse of it, and because I heard this person speak on his on a phone meeting about changing the words, sort of helped me. And going through the literature with my sponsor really helped me to accept it. And I just wanted here to say that, as if anybody reads my, and there are a few people that here that read my gratitude lists, I use, God, higher power, great mystery, and love all the time. But I'm also reminded that I shouldn't forget where I came from. So that now that I've accepted it, that it's important for me to mention where I came from, where I started, that it's okay not to use these words, and that to use the program, it can happen without constantly using religious terms. And I sometimes express this in a dream that I fabricated. This is not real. But I'm sitting at in a Chinese restaurant at lunchtime in Chinatown in New York. It's usually very busy. They serve dim sum, come around.
David, I'm sorry.
No worries. No worries. So they have like tables for 10 or 12. And lunchtime, sometimes you don't have parties for 10 or 12. So they sit singles and doubles and couples at these tables. And I look up from my table in this dream that I'm fabricating, and I see every religious icon sitting around the table, and they're going David, we're really happy that you talk about us in a positive fashion and that you're using, come to accept us. But don't forget, David, where you came from, that these people coming into the meetings for the first time that have difficulty accepting the concept of a higher power need to be reminded that it's up to each individual to determine their own conception of a higher power. Even if that's no conception, that's actually a conception. If you have no belief, that's actually a belief in nothing. And so it's important to, I remind myself to bring this up on, occasionally, that, my idea of a higher power is going to be different than everybody else's. And it does not necessarily, not that it's anything wrong with having a religious affiliation with your higher power, but it's not a requirement. And that's why I, when I read this term about the only requirement to join GA is a desire to stop your addiction. And I sort of chuckle and go, there's some people that probably don't think that. And I'm sort of like trying to open their minds up too, to say, not everybody has that faith that you have, and it's okay. And I don't know where I am with the time. I thought I put my timer on, but it's didn't ring me, so I don't know what happened. Let me see, take a quick look. Yeah, I didn't start it. Anyway, it's pretty close to 20 minutes, I think.
So about with 3 minutes. You got about 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm sort of running out of things to say, except for congratulations. 9 months for Todd K, 6 days for Valerie, and all the other milestones. And oh, one more thing about Katie. Welcome back, your first day. I've had two relapses, and the first one lasted 16 hours. The second one was less than 8 hours. But here's what I've discovered, is that the big gamble here is whether I come back to the program. It's very difficult. And also to realize that just because I had a relapse doesn't mean that I lost the knowledge that kept me clean for all that time. And, I can see how it's difficult to come back, because I feel like a hypocrite. I'm saying all this stuff, and then look, I go out and do it. It's a constant battle for me, fighting my inner demons, which I nicknamed, it sounds like Amen. It's pronounced like Amen, but it's AMEP. Addict mind, ego, and pride. They are constantly pulling at my, need to reconsider the path that I'm on, that I'm better now. There is no cure for this. These are lies that I can control. I have power over my addiction. They're lies, but they make a very good argument, especially when life on life terms happen. And that's another thing real quick about the being positive. This is a dream world to think that my day is going to be better by having a negative attitude and being influenced by the negative things that happen. I'm a human. I will have to feel bad when bad things happen, but I have the choice, a gift I call from my great mystery, to say, I can choose how long I want to dwell on these negative events that happen. And by not dwelling on them, and by not giving them overwhelming reactions, I have more time to find out and discover all the good things that also happen every day, that while I was in addiction, I could never see the good things because I was so focused on everything that was going wrong and about the misery that addiction causes. And so with that, I'll be back. Thanks, Stan.
Wow, David, thank you very much again for your fourth time around on this share that you've done with us. Really appreciate you for being here with us. But we're not quite done yet, because we have what they call a questions and comments portion, which is also being recorded. We talked about that earlier. And if you don't want your voice to be recorded, because that's the only thing that's being recorded, we can ask myself or Tony in the chat, and we can definitely ask the question for you, for David. Just so everybody knows, within a day or two, we will have this recording available on our audio shares portion of our website, the gamblersandrecovery.com website, where we have close to 500 shares in there right now, in recordings from the last over 5.5 years. So So please, in a day or so, they'll be available if you missed it or if you want to hear it again, they'll be there. So for right now, if anybody has any comments or questions, please just raise your hand or even unmute. There's nobody in line for David. Cindy, thank you for introducing David as well. And you're going to be the first one to start us up.
Thank you. David, when you finally came to peace with your higher power, great mystery, that whole concept of something outside yourself, bigger than yourself, greater than yourself, was it a pivotal point in your recovery? Did you find that moving forward, that working the steps, coming to meetings, making the decisions in your life, became more concrete and easier because of the fact that you had finally come to terms with this and you weren't fighting it anymore?
Cindy, thank you for the question. I really don't see it as a pivotal moment. Other than something that I had read in the AA Big Book, and I have read it through those chapters again in the beginning and didn't see it, but it was where it logically made sense to me that there was something going on here that I couldn't explain, and either could the book, and that's how they put it. There were, and not just casual psychiatrists or doctors trying to help it. Of course, the AA book was trying to help a alcoholic and saying, we give up. You need to be institutionalized. And what happened was months later, he returned after going to AA and saying, look, I have arrested this. And what it meant to me was that this sort of was, to me at least, I'm only speaking for myself, irrefutable proof that there is a power greater than myself. And first, it comes to myself, where I tried for over and over again to stop gambling, and I couldn't. Came to this program. And now with this power, the higher power, I am able to arrest it. And I'm in a room with hundreds, if not, over time, thousands of people that have arrested their addiction. And how could they do this? What is the ingredient that's there for me? And so I realize that this is, what the higher power does for me. And I think a big part of it too was for me was, and this actually was during COVID on and off, that I was able to get out on occasion, not to go into places, but to be out in nature and just see the things that I would not have thought that I would be presented to see, like, oh my goodness, did you see that? And this to me was like my higher power's signing, saying, you're on the right path, Dave, and keep up the good work. And it also goes to finding my purpose is to tell my story so that maybe someone will hear something that will enhance their recovery. And of course, telling my story helps me too. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
That was a great question and a great answer from both of you. If you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. David, I have a question for you. So basically, the steps are important. Not gambling is number one, obviously, and coming and sharing and being part of this program is huge. Did you find, and part of our, if not the biggest part of our program, is to eliminate or work on character defects that brought me to the point of gambling and doing all these things. And I've helped in the program through the members, through the literature, through the meetings. I found help here with my character defects. Now, the question would be, and that case, not all of them, just some of them, and then some of them reduced. Did you find, and if there is one, did you find there was one defect or one character thing that you were working with that was extremely or just really pesty, just took its time with it? You just had difficulties getting past it or working with it. And I necessarily want to know what that is, but how did you, what did you do to get past that? How did you work through it, if there is one?
You know, it's interesting, Dan, that you bring this up, because in the book we have the part, the page that goes, is it important to know why we gamble? And, of course, the book is just an introduction, especially for new people. And as it reads, perhaps, however, insofar as stopping gambling, many gamblers and anonymous members have abstained from gambling without the benefit of knowledge of why they gamble. It does not mention recovery. And, of course, for me, I always mention that there's a big difference between abstinence and then abstinence with recovery. The character defects, I will say, you know, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. I guess I could have because I read that a time. But I am a multi-addict, and I learned that my addictions really aren't the problem. David is the problem. And, of course, David has these character defects. And I was an escape addict. So that anytime something occurred that was not to my liking, I wanted to run, and I ran to addictions. And so it was important to that I, you know, learned from these character defects to face these things that made me uncomfortable. And of course, a lot of this uncomfortableness is caused by my societal programming and conditioning that teaches me that I am supposed to be uncomfortable when these things happen. And this is actually what I call being human. My reaction is based on my growing up, the influences, whether parents, family, friends, coworkers, and that I was supposed to react a certain way, or it also defined to me what would make me happy. I could only be happy if I had wealth, if I had expensive vacations and expensive cars and nice homes. Those really, and exactly my situation right now is still very, what I, the damage I did, I will never recover from that. But I'm okay living from social, small social security check to the next one and being happy. And that's what it is. That peace of mind is coming up to say, you know, I can be happy with what happens. And one last thing I want to put on that is, it's the phrase, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. When I reached recovery, I learned to laugh with God when my plans go crazy. When they don't work out, it's okay. There's another door. Thanks, Dan.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we have Bill H. Bill H., thank you for putting your hand up. And do you have a comment or a question for Mr. David S.?
Yeah. Hi, Bill. I have a comment, I'm on a site that David shares his gratitude lists every day, and I read them sometimes with surprise, sometimes with sadness, and it helps me to some degree. I went through a period in the 1960s, where I went to these objectivist lectures, where a writer called Ayn Rand, who wrote Atlas Shrugged, was a dedicated atheist. She was very strong about that and thought that man's mind was the greatest, most powerful thing, and that's what her belief was. And so I became what I would call sort of an obnoxious atheist. I said, well, you know, there is no God, so therefore, you know, you have to have a good mind. Well, my good mind caused me almost to drink myself to death, although I haven't had a drink in 29 years. And my coma drinking didn't stop my drinking. But I did have to have a belief in something. And many people in the GA group I belong to in the Liverpool area of Australia are atheists, including my sponsor. He says, I need a higher power, but I don't know quite what it is, but I know I'm not powerful enough to control my gambling. And I would have had like a couple of years by now, but I'm right now I have over a year. I'm 431 days abstinent. And I'm grateful for that. But being abstinent and knowing that I am the problem, it isn't my religious current Singapore wife of over almost 40 years. We'll have an anniversary later this month. Or my adult children, one of whom almost drank herself to death 11 months ago. Or my older children. And I got faced with issues concerning higher powers. And I have a higher power of my own understanding. But I do ask that higher power every day to help me not have that first drink, to help me not overeat, to help me not to, definitely not to gamble. And my gambling took place in the stock market, so originally in the US and then both the US and Australia. And I do the best I can, and I have a sponsor. And when I have an issue, I discuss it with a sponsor. And day at a time, I try to do the next right thing. And that makes me a better person. It makes me a person that can hold the door for somebody. If I'm going somewhere, what am I doing? Because I was born the same year AA was born. And pretty soon I'm going to be 90. And so, where am I going? I'm either driving to a medical appointment for various ailments that elderly people have, or I'm driving to the market to buy some abstinent food. Or I'm going to some kind of a live meeting in some fellowship. And I do that a day at a time. And so, thanks, David, and thank you for your gratitude list. And I wish you well. And all I can say to people that have problems with a higher power is that when you play God, and that's what I did, I knew I got into trouble. So I can't play God. I have to have some kind of a higher power of my own understanding that's more powerful than I am, because otherwise this bill gets into trouble. So higher power, take care of all of you, wherever you are, and whatever your addictions may be, and take care. Keep coming back. Pass.
Bill, thank you so much, and really good to see you as always. I see you once in a while on the Tanga meetings as well, which stands for, wait a minute, give me, other than Gamblers Anonymous, other addictions other than gambling. What the, Bill, help me out. You have to unmute, though.
I'm so sorry. You should be able to unmute now. Go ahead.
It's Tenga is time elsewhere, but
Right.
not in GA, not in
Right.
gambling. Okay.
Right. It's a very good group. All right. I did want to comment on you, and thank you so much for your say. I wanted to touch on step 11 a little bit, which is, and these are suggestions that helped me from my sponsor. And of course, it wasn't easy in the beginning. One of the suggestions was to say prayers and meditation. Meditate in the more first thing in the morning each day. And of course, I never prayed and I never meditated. So I started out with my sponsor didn't leave me hanging, and he gave me prayers for this, the long version of the Serenity Prayer. It's prayers for step 3, 7, 11. I say that every morning and say a little something personal. And then I do a meditation. I don't know anything about that. So he was giving me this website off the App Store, and called Insight Timer, one word, INSIGHT. And I found one. He said, find something, a guided meditation that you're comfortable with. And I found a 10-minute meditation. And just to let you know, these are what happens for me in my 10 minutes. In the beginning, it seemed that 10 minutes seemed very long. Now it goes by very quickly. One is just trying to release the tension in my body. Then it talks about my breathing. The next mindful minute, each one is a minute. Then is a reminder on number the third minute to realize that when I'm thinking or speaking to myself, I cannot receive. So I'm giving. So I have to either learn to listen or learn to be talking. So sometimes it's hard to quiet my mind. Number four was to talk about my mood. Five was my intentions. Six was to talk about what gifts I have. Seven to feel about my purpose. Eighth minute was potential. Nine was my inner guidance system, and how I felt about what was going to happen today. And 10 was to be open to all possibilities. Of course, that's just a brief synopsis of what that is. But this positive attitude is so important because life on life terms is going to happen. And I have this choice which way to turn. And before addiction, before I came to the program, before I found a sponsor, I was very negative most of the time. It was sort of like, something bad would happen, and I would be like, well, what else is going to happen next? And now it's like I turn to life and go, that's it. That's all you got. And I continue on to be my positive and cheerful self. Thanks. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you for that. And we have Niall. We mentioned Niall's name a couple of times. Niall, you're up next, please. You have a
Hi,
comment
Niall.
or question for David.
Yeah, I've got one question for David before I share. But David, I just want to know what happened to the beard. But anyway, I always knew David as a beard, and he was when I used to see on, I was saying, "Oh my God, there's a hippie revolution happening here." He had the hair, he had the beard, he had everything going on. I was just waiting for AC/DC or bloody Hawkwind in the background or something. But anyway, you're looking well, young man, and it's good to see you. I thank you very much for your share, and yeah, see, Niall's idea of a higher power, and the only requirement, my primary purpose in life now, right at this very moment, is to help others the way I was helped. And when I do share with others, I rarely talk about higher powers in the early days. Early recovery. What I do say is, someone asked me once, what's 100% recovery? And I said, staying away from a bet, drink, or drug, in Niall's case, just for one day, and if I have to break it down to moments, is 100% success, because it's the black bits that I read, not the white bits. I don't make any crap up. I just read the black bits, and I do as it says on the tin, and it says, my primary, or all I have to do is abstain from a bet for 24 hours. And that is 100% success. What happens, be it good, bad, or difficult, is a bonus. It's a bonus because you've got to remember, Niall did not know how to feel when Niall came into these rooms. He didn't understand what love was. He didn't understand what pain was. He didn't understand how emotion, what emotional pain was. He didn't understand, well, I didn't understand why these people were still with me. And I didn't understand what was going on in my head. And the only way I could get to understand what was going on in my head was by listening to others who felt the same way. I'll give you an example. I used to go to a meeting in Shepparton. And I used to sit there with my legs crossed because I was afraid to go for a pee in case someone looked at me and people started judging me. In case I got up and walked out and everyone was looking at me, I was very paranoid. And then I heard someone share, I used to sit in meetings with my leg crossed and I was afraid to pee, and I didn't want to move in case everyone judged me and everyone started looking at me. And someone else shared that in that very meeting the day I had my legs crossed. And I thought to myself, wow, now I understand what not being alone was in all aspects of life. A lot of people out there think the same way as me. And the only way I can explain it is in these rooms. And by the way, 5 seconds later, as soon as he shared that, I was gone like a light to the toilet and didn't feel any guilt, to let you know, because he shared it. And my higher power of my own understanding, which you correctly said, Dave, gave me an answer there and then. I didn't ask a question. He just gave me an answer before I even thought about a question. It's amazing how this program works. That's just a small, simple example of how powerful this program can be. So if he can do that for me, surely I can stay off a bit just for this moment. Forget the day, just for this moment. You think about it. There's 34 people sat on here right now, not having a bet. That is just a miracle. It's that simple. It is so simple, it's gone. And I'm the only one can complicate the simplicity out of it by adding my own bits onto it. The 12 steps of recovery are there. The first step deals with gambling. The other 11 deal with Nile. That's the reality of this. That's the reality of this program. So that tells me the gambling is a small part of my issue. I am the problem in all my addictions. And the only way I can get through it is believing in a power greater than me, be it a chair, which one of my sponsors used to use. And I said, why are you using the chair as a higher power? He says, every time I go to a meeting, there's one there to hold me up. When I'm tired, it holds me up. When I'm there, it's supporting me. It's a power greater than me. It's that simple. God is a very good example because it's an entity that has been believed by the majority of people across the world. So that's why it was used in the rooms. And Bill and Dr. Bob, who founded the whole thing, as you know, David, believed in it. And it worked for them. And then when I read the chapter in the Alcoholics Anonymous book of We Agnostics, which is very powerful reading, you know, and it explained it all to me as well, you know. So atheists and agnostics, you're more than welcome into Niall's life. People who have religious beliefs are more than welcome into Niall's life. But don't pressure me into believing something that I already believe in. You know, so it's a very, 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 very poignant share, David. And to anyone new here, I could not speak. I could not look in a mirror. I could not even think about sharing this stuff when I came into these rooms. Give time, time. Be patient with yourself. Work on the daily reprieve. And it's that simple. It's amazing how well you can feel. It's amazing how well you can feel. And you can feel it right now. You don't have to wait that long. You know, that's what was said to me. You can feel it right now. Have a belief in yourself. Belief in myself when I came in. Excuse me for swearing, but F that. You know, that's the way I felt. The only person who can tell me what to do is my sponsor. And my wife, of course, Jesus. I have to forget about Jesus if I don't allow her into my life. And why is my wife still with me? I don't know. Power greater than me intervened and said, you've got a chance and you have a choice, man. I love yous all to bits. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Shamey, you're great to see you on here, buddy. You are, Seamus, you matter. You fucking matter a lot to people. Especially me. Keep going, my friend. Keep going. I believe in you. And I'm sure half of these people here believe in you. Thank you.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Niall, for sharing that with us. And I thought I had a hand up just a second ago, but
probably... She dropped out of the room. I just let her back.
Oh, no, there she is. It's Valerie. Valerie, you had your hand up a second ago. Would you like to come back and ask a question or comment for David?
Okay. Yeah, I got disconnected some kind of, it was probably my fingers. But anyway, David, thank you for sharing. I never, and don't take this the wrong way, sweetheart, I've never heard a different perspective of not believing in a higher power outside of God, because I was all, maybe it's a cultural thing that all I had was God. Because I'm used to being without. So when I get, I seem to take advantage of it and go and play. Well, I used to go and play gambling because like, whoa, I have some money. I have more than to pay my rent. I'd pour my mortgage. And therefore, I think that was extra from my higher power, which I believe is God. But one thing that you said that stuck with me is when you said you went to one of your friends, I believe, said, look at it, your higher power as being love. And that's one of the characteristics of God for me. So I feel we're on the same, to a degree, on the same page in that we do realize that we recognize that there is a power that's greater than us. We realize that he is love and not division or destruction. He's a God of peace and love, like you have mentioned. And when you were speaking, it was like, and please, again, I'll take this the wrong way, I'm new. It was like, what does it mean to be an atheist? What does that feel like? And growing up, I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 next couple of months. And I never knew anything but to believe in a higher power. Now, what brought me to gambling is the fact that every time when I experienced a loss, and my mom, like I said, this is my second time in GA. 10 years ago, my mom passed away. Me and my mom was the best of friends. And when that happened, it shook my world. It made me question my faith in the God that, why are you taking my mom away? And that was about the only time that I didn't believe in a higher power. And I just said, maybe he doesn't exist. But then I had to check myself and I said, wait a minute. You're getting up every day. You have strength to move. Gambling or not, you have health, you have a white mind. So all of those things, I know I didn't come from Valerie. It had to come from a higher power, which I said I believe is God, and that representation would be love. So I'm not trying to push God down anyone's throat, my belief and your belief. I don't do that because everyone has their own path to go down. But I will say it did my heart good to hear you say that you found another word for your higher power, whereas some people call it God, some people call it Christ, some people call it Jesus, and you call it love. And my thing is, as long as you found a higher power greater than yourself, you have a testimony or a story to tell. And I think it's definitely worth listening to. And I definitely will be back. And thank you for sharing. Yes, this is, like I said, this is my sixth day and the second time. And I definitely will be back. And again, thank you. And I think someone else was talking too about being an atheist. I forgot your name. I apologize. I thank you for sharing as well. And I think I would hope that this room would be safe enough where we can express our feelings and our beliefs and where we come from and where we plan on going once this meeting is over, as we live one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Valerie. And I wanted to make a comment about that. I'm really glad you shared it. The catastrophic event. There's life on life terms. We all know that times, the only thing permanent in life is change. And when these things happen to me, and fortunately I haven't had a real catastrophic event, but I believe, you know, I'm a human being, so I'm going to have to feel and grieve. But I'm also here to say that my purpose is to show that I don't have to let it overwhelm me, and that there are other people that have had events just like this before me and will have them after me, and that I could set an example to say, to be able to pull myself out and to live proper. And one of the things about the steps and working this program that has helped me is, one is that life is not all about me. And that's how I came in. Everything was about David. And that's old David. Still tries to get me to try to think that way. And it's very important that I don't. And I went from being a selfish SOB to becoming selfless. And that is very important for me to find, as step 11 says, this conscious contact through prayer and meditation, to find out and to what God's or loves or great mysteries or higher powers will for me is, and to have the power to carry that out. And I don't know what that is. And it may change over time, but I have to keep trying. And whatever hand I'm dealt, sorry to use a gambling term, but I have to, you know, make do with what's there and be positive about what I have to deal with. Thanks again for your share. Dan?